Welcome to Insights from the Eye Center, connecting patients to eye care solutions. Now, here's your eye care team.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Insights from the Eye Center. I'm your co-host, Jeremy Wolf, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christian Hernandez. Dr. Hernandez.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Likewise.
So Dr. Hernandez is our host of the day for this segment, and we're going to talk about a topic that, I mean, if I'm being honest, I have no idea what it is. I've heard the term before, but I don't actually know what it is. So I'm interested to get into this. Myopia, right? So what exactly is myopia and how does it affect everyday people?
Okay. So, I mean, I would say lucky you if you're not too familiar with it, because otherwise that means you probably have it.
I'm a shining specimen of a human being. I don't have ailments and illnesses. I'm perfect in every way.
I can't say the same.
All right,
so to keep it simple, myopia is what everybody knows as being nearsighted, but it is a condition of the visual system that leads to impairment, blurry vision. If it's up close, you're great. If it's far away, not so great. And obviously the more myopia, the more blurry, the more difficult it is.
So here, don't I sound foolish now to myself? I have no idea what myopia is. Yeah, I know what it is. I just didn't know the term. So just your general garden variety nearsightedness, the medical
Correct.
Term for that is myopia. Okay, interesting. So Correct. How does somebody get diagnosed? And I should say also, I guess I am suffering from myopia. Nearsightedness is when you can't see far or can't see near. Because I know
when you can see near and you cannot see far.
Okay. Got it. When you can see near your kids. So I am I have suffered from that. I had glasses for that a long time ago. I got LASIK eye surgery many years ago, I don't even know what it is. Right. So, and I really, the LASIK surgery is kind of wearing off. And not only that, as I get older, I'm starting to have a problem reading up close. So I'm a mess, man. What I said earlier about being a shining specimen of a human being, all bets are off. So how does somebody typically get diagnosed? What can parents and kids expect when it comes to myopia?
So it gets diagnosed at a regular eye doctor's office. A regular exam can easily find out the true result of how much myopia there is. But a lot of people get screened for it, especially kids at school or at pediatrics at a pediatrician's office, rather. They'll have certain devices or ways to screen for that, more than just, you know, read the chart. Can you see it or can you not? And that can give us a lot of insight. But then when we do the regular exam, it's comprehensive. It checks everything about the shape of the eye, if you need correction because of myopia or something else. And then the general health of the eyes. And so we'll use something fancy like the big four-opter that goes in front of your eyes. And we switch a bunch of the lenses to find out exactly how much there is and the best combination that you would need to see as clearly and comfortably as possible. But for kids, it becomes a big issue because now we know that we can detect it pretty early. And we know that if we just leave it alone and it's left untreated, it will progress. It does slowly get worse over time.
And why is it such a big worry? I mean, because I can imagine a scenario where you have children in the classroom and they're having issues with their vision, but they just don't speak up about it. And maybe the parents haven't taken them to the eye doctor, and maybe they go once a year and they're 6 months into or 5-6 months into school and they're having a hard time. I've heard stories about that with kids that are doing poor in school because they're sitting in the back of the class and the teacher moves them to the front, and because they can see more clearly, they're more engaged now. So talk a little bit about the importance of, you know, getting this diagnosed early and making sure that this problem is corrected for kids specifically.
Well, the big worry and one I kind of already mentioned was that it will get worse over time if it's left untreated. And I can tell you my personal story. I remember in fourth grade, when I finally got glasses halfway through the year, I was one of those kids. I had to get closer to the board and copy something down. I remember specifically an assignment where I did some math problems that we all had to copy down from the board, but I had done the math right. So I knew what I was doing. I just didn't copy it correctly. So I ended up with a wrong answer. And that was just one of those things that then my parents were finally like, well, okay, hang on. we gotta take him back to the eye doctor. I think it had been like just over a year or something like that. And then since then I've been wearing glasses, now contacts. And the other reasons why it's a big worry is because it actually can mean very specific issues in the future are essentially you have a higher risk for. And one of them is glaucoma. One of them is a specific type of cataract. It's also more difficult to get LASIK if your numbers are too high, or it might make it a little more complicated. So somebody who would have been just a little bit of myopia, a low number, can easily have it corrected. And then somebody who's very high on the scale might have to take extra steps or might be disqualified from getting LASIK done in the future or any other procedure that's similar to that.
Sure. So yeah, this would definitely make any parent want to act. I know if my children were suffering from this, and hopefully they're not, they haven't really told me, and they've had routine eye exams. So hopefully they're doing well. But how do you stop their progression, right? You identify there's an issue. Obviously you go to the eye doctor. Like, what are some treatment options? What are things you can do? Obviously you have glasses, contacts. Talk a little bit about the various options to curtail this from progressing further.
Right. The gold standard for correction of myopia is different than the stopping of the progression of myopia. So for example, myself, I got glasses. I eventually got worse, but back then this was kind of unknown, or at least barely in its infancy. Contact lenses are also a great option, but it only makes you see well. It corrects the myopia without getting rid of it. It just kind of masks it. To stop it from getting worse, now there are options for very specific designed glasses. There's still a lot of research going on in that field. There's some big companies coming out with products. So that's kind of on the cutting edge. Stuff that's more established is using a drop, a specific drug called atropine at a low concentration has been proven to reduce myopia and make a big difference over time. It's a drop that you use once a day in the evenings. And very minimal, if any, side effects from all the patients that we've seen here at this office. And it's probably the easiest form of controlling myopia. The way the drop works is that it affects the visual system in a very specific way, and it doesn't let it get some of the signals it normally would have gotten to get worse, to grow longer. Because the eyeball, one of the reasons why it is myopic or having myopia is that the eyeball from the front to the back, if you measure from, you know, the colored part, the clear part right in front of the colored part of the eye to the back, if you draw a line, that length might be too long. And that has to do with genetics and a couple of other things.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the causes, like genetics and then just general, I guess, just general wear and tear and aging on the body as a whole could cause these things to happen as you get older.
Correct. Correct. So if we want to get into that, there's a couple of things I can mention later in terms of risk factors and reducing those risk factors. But to answer the original question about the drops, that's the most simple way, I believe. And it removes the issue of if somebody's unsure about using contacts or something else, it's just a drop once a day at night, this eye, go to bed, and you'll still be fine the next morning, but you're getting the benefit of the treatment.
So am I correct in saying that the drops not only help potentially curb the development of myopia in the future, but they actually help with the specific vision? Like they could be used in lieu of corrective lenses or contact lenses, or is this something that's used together in conjunction? How does that typically
work? It is used together. It is used together. So for example, if I needed the treatment, I would continue to wear my contacts and I'd use the drop once a day at night. Since this is mostly about kids where we first find myopia, and we want to stop it from getting worse, I've aged out. My prescription's been stable for a long time. We want to catch these 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds, teenagers that are having trouble with their prescription getting worse and getting worse. Or maybe they just started to fall into the realm of myopia and we want to keep it there before it gets to this big number.
I'm just waiting for the new advancement in technology where you could just go ahead and 3D print me a new eyeball so I don't have to worry about anything. When is that coming?
That'll be the day. But it might be a ways away.
No, because I was thinking about how the LASIK surgery was so effective for me for so many years. I mean, I got probably over a decade plus of like really crisp, clear vision, but it is starting to fade. And I don't know if I'm even a candidate for it anymore. It's something I got to look at. It's not too bad right now, but I can see over the next, as I get older, I'm 44 now, over the next several years, it's going to continue to, you know, wear down as most things do with the human body. So what could you recommend for me, since we're talking about this, should I go back and get a LASIK evaluation? I just go to my optometrist and have them check it out. What's the best way for me to determine if it makes sense?
It could be either one. I think it might be more thorough to see either an optometrist or an ophthalmologist for the full exam. And that way they can give you a better idea of, you know, where you're at and if it's even an option. And then if it is, then we can kind of go from there and you can go see your LASIK specialist if that was local, or send you to somebody that is in your area and kind of go from there.
Yeah, because I could imagine there's probably quite a few people out there that are sitting in my shoes that have had LASIK a while ago and it's starting to fade out, and they're probably
plenty.
They're just not doing anything right away because it's not quite that bad. It's just like when your vision goes bad in the first place. You're like, I don't have to do anything yet. I'll wait until it gets a little bit worse, but it's always best to prevent it before. And speaking of that, you were talking about some risk factors that you wanted to touch upon, right?
Yes. So let's touch on that. The risk factors are essentially if a parent or both parents of said child is nearsighted themselves, if they have myopia, a child's, according to some statistics that were related. I'm sorry. Some statistics that came out as early, I want to say as 2017, if my memory serves me right, shows that if both parents are nearsighted, if they both have myopia, a child is close to 90% likely of having myopia themselves. Now, the question is up for debate, but that's a very high number to be dealing with. I mean, it's almost a guarantee at that point. And unfortunately, that's where my son falls. He's 5.5. Both myself and my wife are nearsighted. And in all likelihood, he's probably going to have some level of myopia. Luckily, up until this point, he's got none. But, you know, we'll see as every year goes by, if he starts shifting over into that need for a little bit of myopia correction. Other risk factors are how much time you spend outdoors. There's a lot of research that shows that spending time outdoors in sunlight versus room lighting, seeing things that are far away when you're outside rather than being stuck in a book or on an iPad, can make a big difference. And there's a lot of suggestion that getting an hour and a half, so 90 minutes to up to 2 hours of outdoor time is what's necessary to help curtail that, to help slow down or reduce the risk of being very likely to have myopia. And then besides that, it's just certain populations, as far as we understand it now in the optometric community, people that are East Asian descent and Hispanics are much more likely percentage-wise to have myopia and develop it compared to European populations and other populations.
It's interesting. Why do you know why that is? Why certain ethnicities, I guess, are predisposed to the specific condition?
Yeah, as far as we understand it now, there's a genetic component, but also there's a big emphasis on education in East Asia. So, for example, I have a patient who is from Korea, and when she was still living in South Korea, now she's been living here for some time and is actually starting college. She used to go to night school. So she'd go to school after school.
Ah, okay.
And that's a very common thing over there and in Japan as well. So since they're spending more time studying in a book, on an iPad, researching and doing projects and all that, there is an association to all that near work being one of the causes that leads to a shift towards myopia or worsening of myopia.
Makes sense. So is there anything else that could be done at home? Maybe lifestyle changes aside from just the obvious, right? Not staring at your screen all day. I mean, I was just thinking coming to mind, like if you're in an office environment, and you're staring at the screen all day, it can't be, it must be beneficial to take a step aside sometimes, maybe close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, kind of like a meditative practice, and then getting outside. What are some things that you can do beyond that to curb the progression of this condition? Uh-oh, we lost you there for a second. We lost you there for a second. Oh, you back?
Yeah, there we go. I think I'm back.
We're back. Yes. All right. So we're talking about some life,
want to catch up.
Some lifestyle changes, things that we can do at home beyond the obvious to kind of curb the progression of this ailment.
So yeah, so two of them I already mentioned. One is spending more time outdoors. And this is all geared towards kids because those are the ones we're most worried about. Not so much for a 20-something or older. But having the correct glasses or contacts is a big difference. Something that can be done is making sure that near tasks aren't too close. So a book or a tablet or whatever it is at least a certain distance away from the eyes of the child. And one of them is called Harman's distance, after probably the guy who found it or researched it. And all it takes is to ball up your fist, rest it on your chin, and the length of your elbow. So I'll do it here sideways so you can see here.
I'm doing it with you.
That distance. Yeah, that distance is supposed to be the closest it's supposed to be, so that it doesn't cause an issue. It doesn't put overly demand work from the eyes and the visual system.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I, for one, at this stage, I don't have to worry about that Harman distance anymore, because if I bring the phone or the book any closer, it goes blurry. So I'm like going past that just to be able to see.
It's a little different. Yeah, I'm almost there myself, so it's only a couple of years away.
Get excited, brother. Get excited. All right, Dr. Hernandez, is there anything else that you wanted to touch upon before we wrap up here?
Yes, actually, I did mention specifically the drops as a treatment. They're also now, as of only recently, a FDA-approved contact lens, a soft lens, like the ones I'm wearing right now, and like many people wear, that is specifically approved for myopia control. It's a specific design of contact. It comes from a specific company, and they're the only ones in the U.S. to have this FDA approval. But it's if used as appropriate, as directed, which is to use it for full-time wear, 6 days out of the seven, at least in a week, there has been shown, research proven, to reduce the progression of myopia. And a lot of patients of mine that have been using that contact lens have stayed exactly the same in their prescription, or had such a mild change over a year, 2 years or more, that it's one of the easier ways to do it as well. I mean, people love contacts, so why not use that as an option?
If you haven't had your eyes checked recently, reach out to the Eye Center. They have a wonderful team of doctors there ready to help. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. And we will catch everyone next time on the next episode of Insights from the Eye Center. Everyone take care and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Insights from the Eye Center, your guide to clear vision and comprehensive care. For more information, visit eyecenter.com or call 954-432-7711.